Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.
This is Kevin Brooker. Welcome to Cruising Through Retirement. You know the retirement planning rulebook has changed, and it really continues to change. So you know a famous retirement rule of thumb might pose a threat to your bottom line and in retirement completely unbeknownst to you. You might have all heard of that 4% rule, or today we're going to talk about how to neutralize that threat coming up on today's show. But first, we do want to mention the Federal Reserve. We had a big meeting this week where they kept interest rates unchanged. We're going to go into discussion a little bit about what this means to your portfolio.
You found Cruising Through Retirement with Kevin Brooker. Kevin is an investment advisor representative with more than 30 years' experience. He's helped thousands of people cruise through retirement, and he'd be happy to help you too. Stick around for today's adventure on Cruising Through Retirement.
Welcome in, everybody. This is Cruising Through Retirement. Kevin Brooker's here. I'm Steve Siddall. We are going to, again, you set it up there well, Kevin, in terms of what we're talking about and what's important today. Because today, everybody's talking the Fed and what they did or didn't do. So, all right, they're going to keep things the same. Let's check in with Jerome Powell real quick. And here's kind of what he was saying at the beginning of his talk yesterday.
The FOMC decided to leave our policy interest rate unchanged and to continue to reduce our securities holdings. Our restrictive stance of monetary policy has been putting downward pressure on economic activity and inflation. As labor market tightness has eased and progress on inflation has continued, the risks to achieving our employment and inflation goals are moving into better balance.
All right, so nothing's going to change now, but it could come July. That's sort of what he's saying, right?
It is. And that's what caused the markets to rally. If you guys have looked at the markets yesterday or right after the meeting, then you saw, middle of the week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
It was crazy.
The markets rally, right? Hundreds of points, right? Another record high followed by another record high. And guys, the reason why is because what Jerome Powell and the Fed said and the FOMC, Federal Open Market Committee, these groups of people, they call them Federal Reserve governors, that get together and they make these decisions and they dictate whether interest rates are going up or down or by how much. And by raising rates like they've done over the last couple of years, they have effectively slowed the economy, meaning they've brought down inflation from where it was a while back. We were seeing these numbers, 7-8% inflation. Now it's down to more like 2.5 to 3, 3.5, depending on which indicator you want to look at, but it's down considerably. But they're worried that it could spike back up again, because one thing they talk about is how, everything doesn't go in a straight, it doesn't go in a straight line, right?
No.
Right? Just like the stock market, it doesn't go straight up. It goes up and down, up and down, up and down. And over time, it's generally gone higher. But there can be some pretty rough patches. And I think it's the same thing with inflation, because there's so many factors that play into inflation. In other words, think about Russia's invasion of Ukraine, right?
Okay.
Well, that has a definite impact on inflation, because Ukraine is a source of a lot of the grain products we have, a lot of bread and wheat, things like that. And so that action, that war, military action, has actually triggered inflation in other parts of the world, because it's caused problems with Ukraine continuing to produce, right? Because they're in the middle of a war. So there's a lot of factors around the world that can cause these things. and our government is doing the best they can to react. And for what it's worth, guys, our economy is the best in the world. The U.S. economy of all the developed countries, we have done, our government has done the best job of bringing down inflation, keeping the economy growing. We still have unemployment below 4%, which is the lowest in roughly 50 years. All right. So if you want a job, you can get a job. And I think that's what's keeping, to me, that's what's keeping the economy going. I think if we do start to see a spike in layoffs and unemployment starts to go considerably higher, that to me would be a sign we could be going into recession. But so far, there's just no sign of it. And I think as long as people have a job, they've got the money coming in, they're going to keep on spending. And you guys might know that the U.S. economy is between 65 and 70% of it is fed by consumer spending. So as long as people are pulling out their wallets or swiping that credit card, chances are the economy is going to keep on growing and things are just chugging along just fine.
Mm-hmm. Is that a long-term thing, do you think?
I think it is. I think it's a long-term thing, provided there's no extraneous shock. You know, so in other words, there's not another war breaks out somewhere.
Another pandemic.
Or any number of other things. But right now, the U.S. economy looks very, very solid. We've got corporate earnings, for instance. Earnings have come in stronger than really any analyst or economist was forecasting. You know, so we've got strong economic growth. We've got low unemployment. If you have a job, you can get a job, right? And things are moving along nicely. I think part of the problem is there's some news stations and some social media that no matter what happens, they want to say things are terrible because they're fighting a political fight and they think you need to hate the current administration for their people to win. And so they're doing everything they can to say things are horrible so that you vote these guys out. All right. But just look at the facts. Look at the economic numbers. Look at the GDP numbers. Look at the unemployment numbers, the labor report. Look at consumer inflation numbers. They're all looking good. They're coming down. And the consensus right now is that there is going to be 3 interest rate cuts. And since the Fed essentially reiterated it at this meeting, that's what gives the market the confidence to rally and to hit new highs. It's because they're looking forward to interest rates coming down. And this is the old don't fight the Fed, meaning when the Fed is lowering interest rates, it makes it much more attractive to own risk assets. Simply, and what it means is you're not going to be able to make as much money in a guaranteed interest account. So you need to look elsewhere to make money. And so we call those risk assets, which are stocks and bonds. You can lose money with bonds too, if you guys remember 2022. So the markets look good. I think the economy looks very good. I'm continuing to invest. In fact, I've been personally and for my clients putting more and more money to work for the last several months. But you do want to have balance. You don't want to take too much risk, especially if you're close to retirement. So it's all a balancing act, right? And right now, I think our government and the Fed is doing a really good job of walking that tightrope.
So yesterday during his conference, his news conference, they usually go about 45 minutes. This one went nearly an hour, in fact, a little over an hour. And there got to be some questions asked by various reporters. And I want to play one. This was where Powell gets asked a question and he finally shows some emotion. Let me just say that.
You chalk up to one-off calendar adjustment effects following a period of high inflation versus some change in the trend we saw in the second half of last year.
I want to start by saying I always try to be careful about dismissing data that we don't like. So you need to check yourself on that, and I'll do that. But I would say the January number, which was very high, the January CPI and PCE numbers were quite high. There's reason to think that there could be seasonal effects there. But nonetheless, we don't want to be completely dismissive of it. The February number was higher than expectations, but we have it at currently well below 30 basis points core PCE, which is not terribly high. So it's not like the January number. But I take the two of them together, and I think they haven't really changed the overall story, which is that of inflation moving down gradually on a sometimes bumpy road toward 2%. I don't think that story has changed.
Okay. What do you think?
You know what I think? Well, I think that's what the data indicates, that the inflation is coming down. But in terms of the rough patches or the one-off that reporter mentioned, that's part of the problem is that there can always be a one-off somewhere. And mm-hmm. So they're looking at trends, and they've made it really clear they're depending on the data. So let's let the numbers come in, see where the see where everything comes in at with inflation, with the economy, with GDP and all these things, see where it comes in at, and then make an informed decision. And to me, that is the smartest approach they could take. I personally have not thought that we were ever going to see 6 or 7 rate cuts, which some people were calling for at the beginning of the year. I thought the economy was too strong, and it still looks too strong to me. I think I'm actually questioning 3 rate cuts. I think 1 or 2 is more likely. But the market likes the rate cuts because of so many things. You know, lower interest rates is probably going to spur more people to buy houses, to take out mortgages. Lower interest rates will offset the difference between somebody's existing mortgage and a new one if they've been thinking about moving. So in a lot of ways, it'll be good for the economy. But the risk, if they lower too fast or too soon, is that it reignites the economy and it takes off stronger than anybody expects, okay? And that, in turn, triggers inflation to come back. And so imagine a scenario where they lower rates now, and then 3, 4, 5, 6 months from now, they've got to turn around and start hiking rates again because inflation has gotten too high again. Now, one, there's a political backdrop here, right? We're in an election year. I have to think that, and I'm hoping, that the White House is in communication with the independent Federal Reserve and saying, hey, guys, let's just make sure we don't fall off a cliff between now and the election. Make sure things stay under control. So I think the government is going to do everything it can to keep it running as smoothly as possible. They do not want to reignite inflation. And so I think it looks very promising. And I think that if somebody is interested in a guaranteed rate, like Steve, you might remember I was talking a few months ago when I was able to get a 6.15 guaranteed rate for 5 years.
Yes.
Right? Now that's gone. And I was talking about it saying, give me a call, because I thought that was the highest we're going to see in a long time. And that was the highest in about 20 years. And although I can't get 6.15 anymore, I can still get a 6% guarantee for 3 years. And I can get a 5.8% guarantee for 5 years. So if you're an investor that's looking to do something conservative where you know you've got a set interest rate that you can lock in with no fees and no charges, no moving parts, then give me a call because I'd be happy to go over those with you, because I do think those are going to be going down in the future too.
All right. 800-975-6717. Appreciate your insight, Kevin. You can also visit his website. That is silverleaffinancial.com. Silverleaffinancial.com. You can reach out to Kevin there as well. You're making sense, Kevin, in terms of, you know, what the, you talked about the changing interest rates, like in annuities where you can get those guarantees. Yeah, boy, I guess people better learn to listen when you say it's not going to last. It's not going to last.
Oh, exactly. I know. And it drives, you know, believe me, that's one of the frustrating parts of my job, is because sometimes people have a hard time, you know, knowing who to trust and knowing whether the advisor is being sincere. And I promise you, when I say something, I do my best to never BS. I hate people that do that, especially in the business world or in the professional world. There's way too much lying and BSing going on out there. So I try to do everything I can to be as forthright and sincere as I can. And if you're interested looking at interest rates, guys, just look at the trends. You can look at Fed's future contracts. Those forecast where interest rates are going to be in the future. And right now there's an anticipation of roughly 75 basis points or 0.75 point drop. So if we're at 5.75 now, 0.75 point drop would mean you'd be able to get 5%, you know, let's say towards the end of the year, instead of 5.75 or 5.80 now. So if you're an investor that would like to lock in some guaranteed rates, do it now or sometime really soon, because all indications are that rates are going lower. All right. And I don't mean, by the way, when I say lock it in, I don't mean lock it in for 6 months or 12 months. I mean, lock it in for 3, 4, 5 years, maybe longer. Some clients went 7 years on the 6.15, which I thought was a great move.
That really sounds like, I mean, yeah. How do you get better than that?
You can't anymore.
Should have listened to you a couple weeks ago.
Exactly. I'm not kidding you when I say these things, guys.
That's right. That's exactly right. Well, let's shift gears a little bit and still talk about this. But, Stu, you mentioned the 4% rule going in. And I told you, too, that I've read a couple different stories. 4% rule's out there. People are talking about it, I guess. But we've talked about it many times, Kevin. Just for background, give me a 20,000-foot view of what the 4% rule is.
Sure. And this is something most investors have heard about. This came out in the early, mid-90s. And it was actually a financial advisor that came up with it. And basically the theory is that if you've got a stock and bond portfolio that might be 60-40, pardon me, stocks to bonds, or 50-50 roughly, but you've got a mix of stock and bonds, let's say you've got a $1 million portfolio, and you're retiring and you want to live off of the withdrawals to generate extra income, you want to do that from your stock and bond portfolio. The issue that everybody has to address is longevity. And that's the problem, because none of us know, right? We don't know when our expiration date is. At least most of us don't.
Nope.
And so if you don't know that date, it becomes difficult to plan for it, right? And so as an advisor, what we have to do is we have to plan for a long life, all right? And if we plan somebody living to age 100 and they pass away at 87, that's okay. They didn't run out of money. But if we plan for them living to 87 and they live to 100, we could have a big problem.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's what any good advisor is going to do. We want to make sure you never run out of money, all right? Because I can't imagine a worse scenario than being somebody, you know, that's been out of the workforce for over a decade, and now you're running out of money in your 80s and you've got to go back to work. Nobody wants that, right? If that's your choice, so be it. That's fine. But nobody wants to be compelled to go back to work at a later age in life. And so the issue was, if you got a $1 million portfolio, you could take out 4%, which is 40 grand. And that's the first year. And the idea is you get to get $40,000 the first year. And then depending on inflation and market activity, meaning did the markets go up or down, and what did inflation do, then you would adjust your withdrawal rate each year after that first year of 4%. Now, some people say keep it static at 4%, which is fine if you do that. But where you get into an issue is then you increase the likelihood you might run out of money. So the idea behind the 4% portfolio is that there's a high probability that the portfolio will last at least 30 years, which was the time frame they consider to be, you know, a good reference for retirement years.
Of course.
So, but just the key to it, guys, is to remember there is still risk of running out of money. And really the way to do it, in my opinion, is if the portfolio is going down, you need to lower your withdrawals or stop them altogether. And that's what a lot of people don't have the flexibility to do, because you say, you know what, Kevin, I need that income. I can't just stop taking it. But the problem becomes, if you've got a portfolio that's losing money and you're withdrawing from it, it's going to go to zero that much faster.
And again, as you start talking about that and you know, running through the scenarios in my mind, that makes sense. So with the 4% rule, it's not necessarily bad, but it's only a part of what we're going to be talking about, right? Because it comes from 4%. That's not, that's of our total savings.
It's of your total portfolio, your total investment portfolio.
Yeah.
So if depending on where you have your money, whether it's in savings accounts or CDs or stocks and bonds, or I don't know, you've got a safe in your living room, wherever your stash of money is, the 4% rule is based on the entire amount. Now, some people have said you could take out 5%, because most people think 4% is way too small. When they say, hey, I've got $1 million and I say you could take out 40 grand, they're like, what? Yeah. I can only take out 40 grand? And the idea is, yeah, because if you're in your 60s and I've got a handful of relatives that all live to the mid-90s. And so I look at it, I say, there's a really good chance I could have at least a 30-year retirement, maybe longer. One of my aunts lived at 97. So, there are more and more centenarians every day. In fact, there's estimates that there's going to be 500,000 people over the age 100 by 2030, if not sooner. So that is a long retirement, guys.
Holy cow, 500,000?
Right?
Yes. That's a lot.
It's a lot of people over 100 years old, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, holy cow. And so you need to ask yourself, when I sit down and we talk, you know, because that's one of the factors that an advisor has to figure out. We need to start with longevity. In other words, how long do you expect to live, and how long do we need this portfolio to last, right? Then we have to assume some level of inflation. And if you underestimate inflation, that could be another big problem. And then we have to estimate your growth rate. And if you overestimate your growth rate, that's, of course, could be another big problem. So these things can blow up in like 16 different ways, all right? These are all estimates. We're estimating longevity, estimating inflation, estimating growth rate. So remember, they're only estimates, right?
Sure.
So that's why I say we want to be cautious. We want to be careful and not take unnecessary risks, especially in the first several years. Because One of the things, Steve, you remember we've talked about many times is called sequence risk.
Oh, that's where I was headed.
Okay, right? And that, guys, this is critically important. Anybody with a portfolio going into retirement needs to understand this concept. Sequence risk has to do with the sequence of returns as you retire. So we're going to take, let me give you an example. Let's say you're, 65 years old and you want to retire in 1990 and you keep all of your money in the stock market, right? That worked out beautifully because the 90s were a fantastic bull market. It went up, 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 and up. You could have been taking out your withdrawals every year all throughout the 90s, and your portfolio actually grew, right? Mm-hmm. Now we're going to contrast that with somebody that retired in the year 2000. Same thing, they left it all in the market. Now let's look back. We all know what happened now, right? 2000, the market peaked and then crashed. 2001, 2002, it went lower and even lower in 2002, by which point we lost almost half the portfolio. All right. Now, if that person is making those withdrawals at the same time as that portfolio lost half its value in a period of 3 years, that person's portfolio is going to go to zero well before most likely they're gone. And so the sequence of risk means if those first several years of retirement, you lose money, can be devastating to your portfolio.
Of course.
So what I want to do, what I always suggest, is let's set up sources of income that are guaranteed or at least very, very low risk. In other words, maybe, for instance, if somebody says, you know, like some conversations I've had, Steve, if somebody say, well, 4%, well, why wouldn't I just put it into fixed interest? You just said you can get 5.8. So I can get 5.8, I can take out 5.8% and not touch the principal, right? And I say, yeah, exactly. Why don't you do that?
All right. Yeah.
Right? And
right.
That's actually, to me, one of the best ideas. Because you don't have to touch the principal, so you can take out the interest and you know you've still got the principal there. So I like the idea of using fixed interest to generate income. Or if you want to get something for a lifetime, that's when we can talk about annuities. Annuities are the only vehicle that will keep on paying you even after it goes to zero. No other account will do that. And it will pay you the same amount of income. So if you're getting $2,500 a month and the account goes to zero, you're going to keep on getting $2,500 a month for as long as you live, all right? And so people that have relatives, parents, siblings that lived, you know, a long life, let's say past the age of, you know, 88 or 90, mm-hmm. These can be very, very, very valuable because, like I said, they will keep on paying you even if the value goes to zero. No other account will do that, and that's what's nice about the annuities. The other thing about it is, let's say I can show you mathematically how you can generate higher income from a guaranteed annuity payment than you could from any other vehicle that's available today. So in other words, more than the 5.8% interest, right? There are some annuities right now that they'll pay out right away at 7%. Obviously, it's higher than 5.8. So you should take a look at them. I'm not saying these are right for everybody because they're not. Just like stocks are not right for everybody, all right? I think it's important that when somebody's looking at these decisions and looking at making these decisions that you evaluate everything that's out there and make an informed decision about whether it makes sense for your situation. I don't care about what worked for your neighbor or your brother or your father. What's important is what's going to work for you. And that's what we need to figure out. So when we sit down, we can have the discussion and I can help you figure out what's the best solution for what you're trying to accomplish.
And if it's 4%, it's 4%. Or if there's a whole different direction, you're going to take us that way.
100%. Yes, definitely. And I've got some clients that are all stocks and bonds, and I'm fine with that. I work on both sides of the aisle is what I like to say, Steve.
Yeah. You know?
So I work on the guaranteed side with guaranteed fixed interest, guaranteed annuities, contractual guarantees. For people that are safety conscious and don't want to take any risk, I can show you some great vehicles to do that on the guaranteed side. And I've got some things right now. I can get you a 20% guaranteed first year return. Guaranteed. Actually, I can get about 23% guaranteed if you're younger than 74. So,
oh, wow.
So, all right. And that's something some people don't realize with annuities. They have age limits, right? A lot of them change at the age of 75. So for instance, you can get the best terms the age of 74 or younger. Once you get to 75, the terms start to get a little less attractive. In other words, like a bonus, I can get to 23 or 24%. Below 74, and it goes to 21%.
Okay.
From 75 to 85.
So don't hesitate too long.
No, don't wait too long, and don't assume that these things are available to any age because they're not. right? And so my point is just look into it. See if it might benefit you. If not, so be it. I don't really, to be honest, and I hope this doesn't sound bad, but I don't really care what people wind up invested in. I don't own these companies. I don't have any proprietary interest in them. It doesn't make a difference to me. My goal is to find the solution and put together a solution that is the best fit and gives us the highest probability that we're going to hit our goals. And I want you to be comfortable. I don't want you losing sleep at night. I want you to be comfortable with it so that you can relax in and have a wonderful retirement, an enjoyable retirement where you don't have to stress about the stock market going up or down.
Sure. Well, let's talk about Social Security. That still is in the news, and the Republicans came out with their budget proposal, and it's a billion pages. I don't know how long it is.
Oh my gosh.
It's a big document. But so give me some highlights and where you think it goes wrong and or right.
All right. Well, guys, this is really important. We're in an election year. So please listen to what I'm going to say and go check it out and research it for yourself. The 100% truth. There's a group called the Republican Study Committee, and this is a group that over 80% of House Republicans belong to. Now, they just released their budget, and they have proposed a budget that would cut $2.7 trillion from Social Security and Medicare over the next decade. All right? That's $2.7 trillion cut from Medicare and Social Security in the Republican budget proposal that 80% of the House Republicans are members of. It's very important to take a look at this. Take it seriously. Please take a look at it. Medicare and Social Security, I think, are the most important issues for anybody close to retirement or in retirement. I know there's other issues. I know, a lot of people are concerned about some of the cultural issues. I'm concerned about immigration as well. But you know what? My biggest concern is Medicare and Social Security solvency, because I don't want to see them get cut. And guys, right now, if Congress does nothing, if they do nothing, then all of our benefits are going to get cut between 20 and 25%, period. That's the answer. That's the story. And if anybody tries to tell you otherwise, have them prove it to you, all right? Have them prove it. All you got to do is go online and research these things. Check it for yourself. Don't just rely on some news station or some reporter that's giving you their opinion. They're not news, all right? It's an opinion. That's how Fox manages to do what they've done. They call themselves an opinion show. And that's how they get away with everything they did. Unfortunately, they paid the biggest defamation lawsuit in history. So before I get too far off track, so the Republicans have just proposed $270 trillion cut. I'm sorry, $2.7 trillion cut to Social Security and Medicare. Let's look at the other side of the aisle. Look at the Democrat proposal that came out. This has been reintroduced. It's called You Earned It, You Keep It, right? This has been reintroduced. Actually, I think a Democrat and a Republican reintroduced it. And what this is doing is saying, you know what? We don't think seniors and retirees should have to pay taxes on their Social Security check, right? So their proposal is to eliminate federal income taxes on your Social Security check. And the way they're going to pay for it is by making the high income earners continue to pay into Social Security. They're proposing people that make over $250 a year have to start paying the full payroll tax like all the rest of us pay. And so to be clear, right now, once a person passes about $168,000 or so in income, they keep on paying the payroll tax for Medicare, but you no longer pay the payroll tax for Social Security. It stops once you pass about $170,000, right?
Yep.
And it's ridiculous, guys. Ridiculous. Think about all these people. There are probably millions of people that are making over $250 now or over $170 now, all right, that are not paying. Think about all the athletes, right? Patrick Mahomes making $40, $50 million a year. He's paying the same amount in his Social Security as a person makes $170,000, right? How about Taylor Swift? What's she going to make, like $50 billion this year or something crazy?
Something like that, yeah.
Right? And she's going to pay no more into Social Security than somebody making $168,000. And I think that's outrageous. Outrageous. Just make them pay the same percentage as all the rest of us pay. And if we do that, if we pass it, then that would actually pay, that would offset the cost of stopping the tax on people that receive a Social Security check. And I think that's totally equitable. So the high income rich people will pay more into a system that has benefited them dramatically. That's why they're so rich, right? They're paying more into the system, and the people that are relying on the Social Security check, they no longer would have to pay federal tax on it. So that's the two proposals right now. And you can sit back and look at them, talk to your congresspeople, talk to your politician, let them know you don't want any cuts to these programs. Get rid of the payroll tax cap. And as for why, this is something else they put, this window, this donut. So in other words, the people between 170 and 250, that income amount, you wouldn't have to pay tax on, you know, into Social Security. But then at 250 and above, you would.
Sure.
And you know, it's another stupid move by, I don't know who wrote this in Congress, but where the hell they come up with these? I mean, just eliminate the damn thing. There's no cap on how much you pay into Medicare through payroll tax. Just eliminate the cap on the Social Security payroll tax. That would give the government the ability to stop taxing your Social Security check. So reach out to your congressman, let them know to support You Earned It, You Keep It Act, so that this bill becomes law.
And you can reach out to your congresspeople by going to aarp.org, click on the Social Security banner, and you can craft a letter to your congressperson, and they will make sure it gets there. So that's super easy. And,
yes.
And I mean, what Kevin just said, folks, it makes a lot of sense to reach out. That's how we do things. That's how things can get done. It's folks like you and me that have to do it.
We have to do it. We have to reach out and let them know. Because, guys, you all know there's lobbyists out there and there's special interest groups that are paying huge amounts of money. They're making huge contributions to the politicians. They're lobbying them to get what they want. But it certainly doesn't mean what you – I mean, think about what happened in the last few years. In the last administration, they gave tax cuts to billionaires, right? Tax cuts to billionaires and the richest corporations on the planet. And now they want to raise the Social Security retirement age because we've got too much debt. So to me, they took it away from the Social Security recipients and Medicare recipients, and they gave it to billionaires. And I think it's outrageous. And so I think it's about time we make them pay more in tax. The discrepancy, guys, between the wealthy and the rest of us is bigger than it's ever been. Going back 30 years, 40 years, if you look at the average CEO pay versus the average employee pay, the margin is higher than it's ever been. Back in the 80s and 90s, it was like 40 to 1, 45 to 1. Now it's something like 300 to 1.
Oh, my gosh.
It's the rich have just gotten so much richer, and the middle class and everybody else, we're kind of the same. We haven't gotten as, you know, we haven't seen the increase in our wealth like the ultra wealthy have. It's because the tax code benefits them. All these programs benefit them. They've got the lobbyists. They've got the money to pay in the special interests. And now this is where we wind up. So I think it's about time the billionaires paid more money and the rest of us, you know, pay a little less.
All right. I'm all in favor. Sounds good. And by the way, I've just found that the Republican Study Committee budget proposal, it's called Fiscal Sanity to Save America. It's 180 pages. And I mean, you know, it's a lot. It's deep. I mean, I obviously haven't looked at it very deeply at this point, but there's a chapter called Saving Medicare. I don't know what that means. I don't know what they're saying, but
yeah, what that is, that's a lie to twist what they're saying. So that's what it is. They're claiming they can save it by cutting benefits and raising retirement ages, raising eligibility ages. All right. They don't have to do that. The reason they're looking that Republicans want to do that is because they don't want to tax the billionaires. All right. Because they contribute a lot of money to their campaigns. All right. It's time they started acting in the best interest of constituents that aren't the billionaires. And I think if everybody pays attention, guys, to me, Medicare and Social Security are the two most important issues in this election, because this upcoming election is going to put the people in office that are going to have to take action to fix these programs. And if we don't vote them in now, then I think there's a really good chance that everybody's benefits are going to get cut, and including my own. And yes, I am talking my own book here. I don't want my benefits to get cut. I've been working my entire life for them. And I think it's outrageous that we're giving so much tax benefits to the ultra wealthy people, and we're saying the hell with everybody else. And so personally, I will be voting Democrat all up and down the ticket, because I think that's our best bet of saving these programs. I hope you look into it too.
All right, Kevin, again, great conversation today. And so we're still feeling pretty good about, I mean, you know, you've made a good case for the economy, the jobs. I mean, you know, it doesn't feel nearly as bad as what some are saying.
It's not. It's not as bad as some are saying. And guys, if you're an investor, just stick with your investing plan. It's a really good time, as I mentioned before. Take a look at your portfolio. Make sure you don't have too big a position in something that has performed really well. Like if you own a lot of tech stocks, make sure it's not too heavy of a weight in your portfolio. Maybe take a little bit of profits and redeploy the capital to some other areas that haven't performed the same. But overall, Steve, I think the markets look good. As long as unemployment stays down, people have their jobs, I think the economy looks really good. And in the face of interest rates going down, I believe that bodes well for the stock market to continue its gains this year.
Sounds great, Kevin. Hey, let's reconvene in a week, and I'll quiz you on a couple other things. How's that?
That is perfect. I look forward to it.
Information provided is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. The covered material has been obtained from sources that are deemed to be reliable, but their accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. There are risks associated with every type of investment vehicle. Please read the prospectus and risk disclosures thoroughly before investing. Insurance guarantees are subject to the insurance company's ability to pay. Neither Silverleaf Financial, Kevin Brooker, host, and guests are responsible for the usage of information discussed. Security and investment services offered through Silverleaf Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Please consult with an experienced advisor before making any investment decisions.
Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.